Now that's what it's all about. See, that's what we're here for. It's about Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. And my praise shall be for Christ alone. What are we here for this morning? I love it when God does stuff like this, because they had no idea what I was going to be preaching on. I was actually, this morning, I figured, why waste fall back, right? So I got up at 4:30 instead of 5:30. What a blessing. And I'm up there in the living room. It's dark outside. I'm going over my message and I'm laughing. And I'm laughing because how silly and goofy and stupid religion gets.
Yeah, come on.
Just a bunch of foolishness that the devil uses to get in there and mess up people's heads and get them off track on what it's all about, and actually works damage.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. I'm going to preach to you on standards and convictions. Standards and convictions. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Romans chapter 14. I'm not making any of this up. I'm not grinding an axe. I'm not gunning for anybody. I'm going to give you Bible. And I'm telling you right now, some more conservative people are not going to like this message. And that's not my problem. My problem is if I don't preach what the Word of God says, that's my problem, see? All right? So the more conservative people aren't going to like it. The more liberal people are going to take this message and they're going to use it to their own destruction to excuse and get license for sin. And that also is not my problem. See, my problem would be if I use the Bible to excuse sin and make license and liberty for sin. So either way, it's not my problem. My problem is if I fail to preach the Word of God to you. And see, this is a chapter I'd really just rather just step around and avoid, because it's very controversial. And it's going to leave too many things very open-ended. And I'm not going to wrap them up for you, because I am here to edify you, which is build you up, and to help you be an individual who personally walks with Jesus Christ. I'm not here to be your savior. I'm not here to be your answer. I'm not here to tell you what to do in every area of your life. I'm here to preach the Word of God to you. So if you can't develop enough in your own walk with Christ as time goes on, I realize for a little while you may need to get a little bit of help and ask some questions and kind of say, what would you do, preacher, and adopt that. That's okay, but as time goes on, you have to learn to develop your own opinions about some certain things. And yet at the same time, don't cause trouble about your opinions. And that's what this whole chapter is dealing with. Let's read it. Romans chapter 14, verse number 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself, and that thing which he alloweth. But he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let's pray. Father, we ask you this morning to help us. We're going to head off into some waters here, Lord, that are not usually taken on. They're not usually headed into. But I know that you told me that if I love you, I read that passage you were speaking to Peter, but I took it personal, Lord. You said, lovest thou me more than these? He said, yeah, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. And so, Lord, I know that my job is just to give them the word of God, not to come up with fancy messages, not to try to be creative, not to try to get my point across, not to persuade them of my opinions on all kinds of subjects, but to give them your word. And Lord, I want to faithfully do that until you come get me out of here. And I pray, Father, now you'd bless the word of God. I pray that we'd hear the spirit of this thing. I pray that you'd rebuke that liberal and carnal and lazy spirit that seeks to justify things that aren't right and seeks to take license to sin. And I pray, Father, you'd equally rebuke that spirit that it is so often in so many of us, especially when we're religious, that is just holier than thou. And Lord, we feel like we're better than everybody else and has this high standard of self-righteousness and looks down our nose at others. Lord, we don't want either. A false balance is an abomination and ditches on both sides of the road. We ask you to make this church a Bible church, a Christian church, a church that's got the Spirit of God in control. And I pray we'd be individuals. Lord, every one of us would be individuals who also are unified in our faith in Christ and our belief in the Word of God and our love for the brethren and our desire to reach souls and our efforts to live a holy Christian life pleasing to our Savior. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this chapter is obviously dealing with some tough issues that were going on in that day. He's talking specifically about the issue of eating meat. Now, what would happen is, in that day and time, there was many that would come in and they would make sacrifices to idols with animals. And they were wicked and ungodly sacrifices. There were horrible things going on and atrocities that these wicked idolaters would commit. And when they were done making their sacrifices, they would take that meat down and they would put it in they'd sell it in the marketplace, and then they'd put a markup on it and sell it in the shambles. So in other words, you go down to the grocery store when you're done with your sacrifice and you call Mr. Kroger out there and you say, Mr. Kroger, and I'll sell you this stuff for, you know, $20, you know, and I mean there's 20 pounds here, and you know you're gonna mark it up to $1.50 a pound, so you make your deal and then he'd sell it in the shambles. And there was a dispute among the Christians as to whether or not it's okay for a Christian to eat something that had been offered to an idol. There was an evil spirit associated with those idols. There was devils associated with them. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that when they bow down and pray to an idol, they're praying to devils. The devils literally had possessed those gods of wood and gods of stone and be in those things. And while people are bowing and praying, the devil's receiving the worship he desires. So idolatry is a very, very wicked and abominable thing in the Bible. And the Christians of that day were saying, hey, you got no business going down in there buying that meat and eating that meat. Don't you know where that meat came from? And others would say, hey, I'm just buying it to throw on my stove and cook it up and eat it, man. I ain't worshiping no false god. I'm just having me a good meal. And there's a debate going on in the church about whether or not it's okay to eat meat. On top of that, there's the Old Testament dietary laws that are still very confusing in the early church to a lot of the Christians. And so there's a debate going on within the church over whether or not it's okay or not okay. Can I tell you, in my observation over the last few, I'd say the last 50 years, maybe a little more than that, in the Church of Jesus Christ among Bible-believing fundamental Christians, there have been major problems that have come to play. And those problems have come to play because preachers have preached against the culture instead of preaching the word of God to God's people and attacking the culture all the time. And as a result, this list of standards have cropped up in certain churches. Now, I got to sitting back and looking at who we have in our church today. When we first started our church, nobody that was here within the first year is still here, I don't believe. Or close to it. We first started our church, we had a group of people who were all from independent, fundamental, King James Bible-believing Baptist backgrounds. That was the core of Bible Believers Church. And I sat back and started looking at our church right now and thinking about everybody's backgrounds. And you realize that's just a tiny little handful. There's maybe only three or four families that are actually from that background. We have in this church something very different that I absolutely love. I mean, I told my wife, I said, if some church down in a warm part of the country called me with a big old congregation and a fat salary loaded with benefits and a Harley Davidson in the driveway for the preacher... Amen. And a Lincoln Navigator for the preacher's wife. I'd say thanks, but no thanks. Amen. I love what I got. Amen. I love you, man. I love this area. I love where God put me. I'm happy. But we are a very diverse church. There's a whole bunch of used to be Nazarene in their background. We got a couple used to be Pentecostal in their background. We got a bunch in the contemporary movement in their background. We got a bunch that were Roman Catholic in their background. We got some that were Lutheran in their background. We got many that were just not in church at all. And really, that creates two great things. Number one, creates a lot of individuality because we're coming from different directions. And that's a good thing. We need to hang on to some of that. But it also creates a lot of questions. Because depending on what background you're from, you're going to have baggage associated with your religion. Let me say that again. Depending on your religious background, you will have baggage associated with your religion, and that baggage is going to hold you back in understanding the Bible and in knowing God personally, because you've heard things preached, you've heard things taught, you've heard it preached and taught with passion that weren't right. When everybody else sits back and says, yeah, that's how it ought to be, that's what we believe around here, and you're wanting to be right with God, and you're seeking God, and you're trying to do right, but everybody else is saying it's wrong, and you're like, okay, well, I guess it's wrong, and before long, with the right rational arguments and somebody laying out a really good point, you go, okay, I guess I kind of see your point of view, so I guess I'm going to adopt that standard in my life. And before you know it, you got standards in your life that God never really put on you, but the brethren did. I'll just throw these out there to you because this is what got me laughing. This is my background, okay? And this will be sort of my frame of reference because I'm preaching and the message, you know, has a lot to do with the individual. That's just a very hard thing to get away from as a preacher. What God's done in my life is what comes out in my preaching. So in my background, it was wrong. I was raised in a church where it was wrong for a woman to put on a pair of pants. I mean, Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. And I got, man, I mean, my whole life, I'm like, yeah, that's sin. Look at those. What a carnal church. Them women are wearing breeches. And that just seemed like such a sin growing up. I mean, Deuteronomy 22:5 says it. 2 Peter says, they that are unlearned and unstable wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. Deuteronomy 22:5, folks, is talking about cross-dressing. I had one guy say, because everybody's got a different opinion, different interpretation of the Bible. I had one guy say he believed it had to do with underwear. I said, well, I never heard that before, but, you know, I guess it could be. I don't know. Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious what it's talking about, folks. It's talking about cross-dressers. It's an abomination to God for a man to dress up like a woman and prance around in high heels. That is wrong. That is not a personal conviction. That is not a personal standard. It is wrong in the eyes of God. You can't walk up in this church dressed up like some kind of a woman and think, well, we have grace and, you know, God's, you know. No, it's wrong. It's wicked. You're not welcome unless you get that thing right with God. Come on in and hear the preaching. But you ain't in good fellowship, good standing with the church until you get the thing right. Amen. So there's some things that are pretty obvious. There are other things that are negotiable. Can I tell you this? If you say, well, my conviction is I should look more ladylike, because nowadays the culture is not very ladylike, and I personally feel like I should only wear skirts. You know what I say to you? Praise God. God bless you. That's your business. But I ain't getting in the pulpit preaching that you have to do it. You know what another one was? Movie theaters. It is a sin to go to a movie theater. Man, the first time I went to a movie theater, I'm like, looking for the lightning.
Yeah, you're right.
Going, where is he at? I'm going to die. I hope nobody sees me. Pull on the hoodie, cinch it up real tight so my dad didn't get news that I went to a movie theater. I felt like I was walking into a bar, man.
You're right.
You know what I realized? I realized they say that the reason you shouldn't go to a movie theater is because people don't know if you're watching something that's G-rated or if you're watching something that's R-rated. The exact same individuals walk into movie stores that in the back there, they got a pornography section.
Right.
People don't know if you're getting, you know, Little House on the Prairie. Oh, God help me. Anna Green Gables. Ugh. Or God knows what. So you see, that doesn't hold up. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you say, preacher, I don't think I should go to a movie theater, it ain't right. Praise the Lord, don't go. I got no problem with that. That's your business. Another one's Christmas trees. Did you guys know December 25th has absolutely nothing in reality to do with Jesus Christ's birthday?
Right.
I'm not talking about American culture. Jesus Christ was born in September sometime.
Right. Yep.
He wasn't even born in December. You know the root and the origin of that stuff? You know the root of the Christmas tree? Folks, I heard it preached. You shouldn't have no Christmas tree in your house because you have to bow to that tree to put the presents under, and you got to bow to that tree to get the presents out. You're worshiping Baal. Do you know how many evil origins there is to everything?
Yes, sir. Come on. There you go.
I'm not going to that store because they support this. I won't go to that restaurant because they sell beer, Applebee's. But you go to Walmart, hypocrite.
Come on.
Where are you going to go nowadays?
Yeah, there you go.
So, folks, the list goes on and on and on. You can't go out to eat or go to a grocery store on Sundays. You can't go to a grocery store on Sundays because it's the Sabbath and it's the day of rest and it's the Lord's day. Sunday ain't the Sabbath, genius. Saturday's the Sabbath. And I've been freed from all that stuff anyhow. It's good to take a day of rest. But you know, if you don't take a day of rest, don't take it. I went to the gym yesterday because I wanted to. I'm freed, man. But if you feel like you want to sit around all day and be lazy on a particular day, knock yourself out. Folks, the list doesn't stop. I mean, there are some churches that they forbid women to speak in church. And then they come somewhere like this, and you go on your ladies' retreat, and Grace has a Bible lesson that's like, oh, is this a sin? Breathe, will you? Religion gets crazy. Religion doesn't stop. I mean, it goes on and on. Music. That's a hot button topic. Can I just tell you what I listen to? I listen to nothing but spiritual stuff. It's just me. I just do. I mean, I tried getting Liberty, you know, a few years ago. And it's like, that doesn't do anything for me. Country, it's like, wow. Really? I don't know how anybody listens to that stuff. That's just depressing. And nowadays, everything is so full of filthiness, right? So on a clean conscience, I'm not really able to walk with God and listen to certain stuff, but that's my opinion. I'm not saying everything that isn't Christian is always evil. I'll tell you what we'll do in church. Amen. What you do in your personal life, you need to figure it out between you and God. It's on you, not me. It's on you. Music's a big one. Hair's a big one. That's a big one. Oh, man, I heard that thing preached on every week. It was hair. They even preached against, I seen one preacher not long ago. He grabbed my chin, and he shook my chin. He said, brother, you need to stand a little closer to the razor. I said, really, brother? Why is that? He said, oh, that's, you don't understand. That's from that hippie movement back in the 70s when men all started growing their facial hair. I said, really, brother? I could have swore Jesus had a beard.
Hello.
I said, I'm just trying to be a little closer to Jesus.
Hey!
It doesn't stop you guys. And before you know it, you are raising miserable kids.
Yes, sir.
We didn't go to carnivals. Because the root word of carnival is carnal, carnivorous, flesh. Carnival, or amusement parks, because ah is nothing. Ah, millennial, no millennium. Muse is to think, so it's no thinking, amusement. And then you're like, I just don't know why my kids went crazy and they're drunken dope heads and they're out partying all the time and don't want to go to church. You put them in a box and you chained them up and they couldn't do anything. That's why I tell you guys, find a good clean hobby and do it. It fits in last. God, that includes your Bible reading, your prayer, your church attendance, your witnessing. God, number one. Family. That family is important. Work. To take care of your family and to support the work of God, you work. After that, find a good hobby. If you can fit that in, you're a disciplined person. Find a good hobby. Do it. Go do something. Something you enjoy. That's just fun. If you and your wife can get on the same page and find something, do it together. That's a great thing. We get ourselves so bound up by religion that we can't even move anymore. Keep your finger here in Romans. Go with me. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, then Galatians to your right. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. I'm going to show you that some convictions, some standards aren't even of God. The devil likes to use them. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. But faith which worketh by love. Sorry, I'm getting different verses mixed up. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Watch it. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. This persuasion. Paul said in Romans 14:5, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind about questionable topics. He said right here, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. The devil came back into that church and started saying, you ain't right with God if you don't get circumcised. You ain't right with God if you don't keep that part of the law. You ain't right with God. And it was the devil working his way in to get the focus off of Jesus Christ onto the standard. You see how that works? You start preaching those standards more than Jesus, the focus is off of Jesus, and it's onto what you do as a Christian, whether or not you're right with God, whether or not you're living up to the standard. That ain't right. The focus is to be on Jesus Christ. Back in Romans chapter 14, please. Now, since all this stuff's posted on the internet, I'm sure that this one will seal my fate. I won't get calls to have to go anywhere and preach. Amen. Amen. Because this is stuff like this is heresy, even if it's Bible to them. While I stand with Paul, after the manner in which ye call heresy, so do I worship the God of our fathers, believing all that's written in the law and the prophets. I'll believe everything that's written, and if you call that heresy, then so be it. The first thing you're going to see, that was all introduction, but don't worry, we'll move. The first thing you're going to see is the nature of the weak in Christ. Look at verse number 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is eateth herbs. Right there, it's saying the guy with the higher standard, this is really going to tick people off. It's saying the guy with the higher standard is the weaker brother. The nature of a new believer is weakness. The nature of immaturity in Christ is that you're just insecure a little bit. You're just not sure. You want to please God. You're desperate about pleasing the Lord. You're excited about being saved. You're thankful for the difference that Jesus Christ has made. Hey, I was driving down the road today thinking about how the victory I got in Jesus Christ. I was thinking, man, there was a day when I never thought I'd be able to quit some foolishness that I had myself hooked on, and I started shouting in my car, well, glory to God, man, I got the victory. I don't even want it anymore. Can't believe that's gone. Now, I'm not saying I'd never be tempted with it again.
Right. Yep.
But I'm just saying, wow, it overwhelmed me. It is good to be saved. It's exciting to have a difference. It's a wonderful thing not to need no dope or no liquor or nothing else that this world has to offer to try to get me happy and make me feel like I'm having a good time. I am happy in Jesus and I'm glad for the victory. I didn't want to go back to that misery. You go ahead. You go ahead. You go on out. You get all hammered Saturday night. You come in here, sit on the front row Sunday morning, and I will scream the whole service. Just excited in Jesus while you're like, ugh. Hey man, God addeth no sorrow with his joy. Amen. And new believers are weak though. They get paranoid about everything. Can I tell you that the reason a lot of people swing that pendulum all the way over to all the extra standards is because of their background. You will find, and this is not to put them down, you will find converted Roman Catholics have a very difficult time coming into the liberty of a church service like this. They're used to something a little more of a high and holy feeling, a little more things that they got to do and processes they got to go through. They take and gravitate very quickly to the list of standards because their salvation plan is all based on works, not Bible and not just Jesus. It's Jesus plus works. So when they have to do these things to be pleasing to God, they're like, oh, that makes sense. And they gravitate to that because of the weakness of the baggage of the past. You'll find the same thing will happen to Pentecostal holiness. They get saved and they come over to more of a Bible-based position, and it's so easy for them to fall into the trap of all these things that I have to do in order to be right. I'm messing with some of your heads right now. I know it. I can see you like, is this even right? Oh, it's Bible. I know the feeling, though. I'm going to be compassionate with you. I know the feeling. I left Crown College of the Bible in my double-breasted green suit with a Bible that was like this. I needed like a dolly to carry the thing, you know? And I come over to Jim Lentz's church in Valdez, North Carolina. He asked me to come help him shingle his roof. I'm up on the roof. I'm shingling away. And his wife and another a deacon's wife from the church and a couple of the women go walking out of the house. They've been in there getting us lunch ready, man. Man, I still remember that lunch. Wow. I'm hungry. Are you hungry? I'll hurry up. They go walking out and they were in pants. A preacher's wife. Breeches. What in the world? No wonder these people don't have 3,000 people like the school I come from. I'm up there and I'm shingling, and them guys are up there, man. They all got together. Hey, preacher, how y'all doing? Hey, how you doing? They're looking at me like, what are you doing here? I'm up there shingling, you know, kind of minding my own business. I don't have much in common with those guys. I don't know how to tell you. They scare me more than the ghetto, you know what I'm saying? I'm up there, I'm shingling. There's one or two of them. I ain't saying it's right. It'll kill you. But good night, man, if for 8 generations your family's been built on. And I'm looking at the preacher, and I finally, they're just goofing around having a good time, and I finally looked at them, I said, man, you guys are carnal. Right to the preacher's face, I said, you guys are carnal. He goes just like this, the gracious, sweet man he was. He goes, everybody stop! All the guys stop, and they look. No more laughing! No more joking around, fellas! No more having fun! Mikey Reagan's here, and he said, we're carnal! Everybody started dying laughing but me, man. I'm putting that nail gun through into the living room. He finally come over and squatted down next to me. He said, what's bugging you, bud? After busting my pride, he came over to minister to me. And I felt like there's something different about that man's spirit than the strut I'm used to of self-righteous Christianity. So I understand the feeling of going, I'm a little freaked out by this. For some of you. Some of you have no problem. Some of you will be a little like, ask God to show you the truth. And relax. Trust the Bible. The weak in the faith are the ones who are paranoid about this stuff. You know what you and I are to do? We're to receive them. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. So they come in saying, well, I don't think I should wear pants. Don't mess with it. Leave them alone. You know, early on in this church, I hammered on that stuff so much. You haven't heard me preach on standards for or against them, have you? In how long? A couple years? I used to hammer on that stuff constantly. And you know what I was doing? I was handling it wrong because I was so tired of it because I grew up in it and I was worn out and burned out with it. I'd seen people get saved and come in and sit on the pew from a rough background, and the first thing that slammed into her face after coming from a rough background, I mean, she's got a lot on her plate she's trying to clean up. I'm thinking specifically of one individual woman, a lot on her plate she was trying to clean up. She was a mess. And it was, well, you shouldn't be wearing pants. It's like on top of everything else, now I got to walk around dressed like some kind of weirdo all the time. It was too much for her. She was out of church. I hate that stuff. You say that's God? People have been like, how come you're letting him go so long with an individual here, the big old spreaders in his ears, big old black things, you know? How come you're letting, how come you don't say anything about, it's about time that he got, don't you think so? Shut up!
Hey.
Ain't hurting you. You didn't vote him in as the pastor. Leave him alone. He come to me one day, and I said, what in the world, man? A big old thing flopping around, nothing in there. I was like, what happened to you? Shotgun? He said, it ain't me anymore, preacher. Woo! That was his business between him and God. I knew he'd get there. But when somebody comes in weak in the faith, receive them, but not to doubtful disputations. Don't come in, well, I don't know, you think you should really be doing that? What do you think? Leave him alone. God will work on him. He's God's. I'm glad he's here. Let him sit. Let him get preaching. If he'll put up with this, let him come. Instead, we get on him. Remember, in the early days of the church, a young family came to visit. I was excited about coming, man. Somebody came to me and said, we don't really want them. I said, we don't? No, you know, she's one of those that they can't, women can't wear pants. We don't really want that type around here, do we? I said, well, you might not, but I do. She's welcome. If their standard is higher than mine, what does that bother me if I know I'm right? I don't think we want their type around here. I knew right then and there that family wasn't going to last. And they're gone. They've been gone a long time. Yeah, the ones they were talking about? Paul Harvey will give you the rest of the story later. Praise Jesus for them. Receive them. I don't think we want their type around here. No? No, I think you're wrong. I think God said we're to receive them. So if somebody comes in from a Pentecostal holiness background, which could happen, if people down there be listening to us, there's a lot of that down there. And she thinks she has to wear a head covering in church. Leave her alone. Let her wear it. Receive them. The nature of new believers is that they're weaker. They're sensitive. They're doubtful. Verse 1, but not to doubtful disputations. Look at verse 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. Folks, nowhere within a ton of verses do you find hell mentioned. You see the word damned and you say, see, you lose your salvation. It ain't talking about losing salvation. There ain't salvation around here. He's talking about that damnation in your conscience. That damnation in the flesh. So watch this. I wonder if these are wrong. They're kind of like ankle-high boots. Well, this isn't reality. This is just, you know, an illustration. I seen a rock star wearing those one time. I wonder if I really should wear those. That's probably all right. I don't know. Think the Lord wants me to? It'll be all right. You just sinned. Because you wanted to do it, and you weren't 100% persuaded in your mind that it was okay with God. But you did what you wanted to do anyways, even if you were potentially offending God. Does that make sense? You just sinned. I put these on this morning, and I did not sin putting those things on. Other than maybe getting mad because the laces were pulling the wrong direction. They got to be perfect. Weird, man. Seriously, I got issues. Pray for me. But I didn't sin because I knew I wasn't offending God. I put them on and walked out the door. I didn't think nothing of it. See? Now how could something like that be a sin? When somebody's weak and you come along and try to push them out of their position that they think they should be in, you could cause that individual to sin even though you're right. So you can't mess with people when it comes to their spiritual walk. Their nose should stay in your own business. That's what Paul's teaching. They're doubtful. they dispute. Not to doubtful disputations. Look at verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth judge. Let not him which eateth judge him that eateth. Judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Saturday. I think we should take a day of rest. Okay, knock yourself out. I think we should meet on Sunday. Knock yourself out. Another day esteemeth every day. Another esteemeth every day alike. I got up this morning. I got to work early. I got done. I went out for a run. On Sunday? Yeah, I felt like running. I went out for a run. Some people are like, you shouldn't do that on Sunday. Well, then don't. I did. Some people see it one way. Other people see it another way. Look at verse 5. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Look at verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. You know what he's telling us over and over and over again? Don't be argumentative. So much of the time when we get a personal standard or a personal conviction that the Lord's laid on our heart, we want to enforce that on everybody else. God did not call me to preach my standards. God called me to preach His Word. Can I tell you there are things laid out in that book that are wrong for anybody? Don't care what your background is. Don't care how you view it. Don't care what your opinion is. Don't care what you were taught. The Bible said it's wrong. It's wrong. Got it? No negotiation. There are other things, and many of them, that are not in the Bible. This book was not written for the United States of America, much to your shock, I'm sure. We Americans get this mentality that it all revolves around us. It doesn't. And it won't in the next 10 years for sure. With the way things are going, America is going to be third rate before you know it. This book was written for everybody on this planet. You think God's going to go through there and say, you can do this and you can't do that and you can do this and can't do that and can do this and can't do that in every single thing? God's going to give you some principles that you can look at and you can take those things and you can internalize those things and you can meditate on them and you can pray over them and then you can use those things. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. You can judge those things based on what God has taught you in the book. But somebody that's weak in the faith, they want to debate all the time. So the Christian that's going around pushing their culotte pattern on the rest of the church. Amen. Stinking makes me sick, man. Those things look... Never mind. I'm sorry. I wouldn't do that to my daughters. God bless them. And that stuff goes on in churches. Yeah. It's happened here where they come in and they sit and they're gonna get their chance, you know. And God gives me that like sixth sense sometimes. It's like the radar starts going off. And you start, why? Before you know it, they're wanting to pass out their information, their literature on why it's wrong for women to wear makeup. Jezebel! She painted her face! They get a Bible verse, and you go, oh! Woman in Revelation, that whore, she's drinking blood. It's red lipstick, brother! That stuff's been preached. I remember as a kid, we were sitting in a camp meeting. My mom was the only woman there with makeup. And I already told you how extreme my parents were. But there's some even more extreme. And that fella got up and he decided he was going to preach a whole message on Jezebel. Her husband was a pastor at the time. And he's staring her straight down and saying, Jezebel! Looking at her. Only woman there with makeup. She didn't realize that was the standard. Hey, if you need it, wear it. Like the good preacher say, if the barn needs painting, paint it. Man. I love it, man. My wife gets dialed up. We on a date last night. I love it, man. Put that makeup on. Put that lipstick on. Praise Jesus. That stuff gets preached and people start getting paranoid, man. They start thinking like you see a verse and you're like, oh, no, oh, no. Is it wrong? Is it wrong? And then they start going wanting to spread their little doctrine to the rest of the church. And some women are like, I can't go in public like that. and you start hurting people, and you're off track, and you're wicked, and you're doing damage to other people to try to push them to a standard instead of encourage them in Christ. You encourage them in Christ, blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind. Sit and watch some guys for 2 years, and finally they come in and say, "Yeah, I'm not wearing these earrings anymore." Why not? I never said nothing to you. It's just not me. It's who I used to be. It's not who I am now. Yeah, you just grew in Christ a little bit. I've had them come and say, "You know, preacher, I used to justify pot, but I have no desire anymore." Why? Christ. He's growing in Christ. See, you just give him time. Give him the book. Let him grow. We push people away too much because we want to make them fit our culture and fit our club and fit our clique. And, well, you're a representation of our church. Hey, if you're a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or on staff, there's a little bit, I think, expected on that level. So if you come in with pink hair and you're Dave Drozdowski, it's on in Jesus' name between me and you. Amen. First time Brother Rob gets up here with a big old hoop in his ear. Right. I don't know what you think you're doing, but can I have that? Yeah, yo, go ahead now. Here's a Kleenex. See? But folks, this ain't a cult. There ain't a dress code that's expected of you. It's Christ. The necessary basics of your convictions. Let's run through these real fast. They're all here. They're all obvious. I probably don't even need to hammer them home. Necessary basics. Okay, preacher, so now there's a bunch of things out there. Can I do this or can't I? Can I go to the gym and work out or can't I? Can I do this or can't I go to movie theaters? Video games. Some people get under conviction about video games. And some people, they should. Good night, man. You sit up all night doing that thing, ignore your wife, and you're too tired to come to church. Get right with God, you sluggard. Amen. Amen. Right? Does that mean it's a sin to sit down and play a video game? It is for me because I want to cuss. I hate the things, man. I'm throwing the thing and my kids are like, "Oh, what's daddy doing?" I lose every time. If I could win, I'd be happy. I hit level 895. Well, good for you. Quit bragging. Man, things make me miserable. But if you enjoy them, is that a sin? My convictions. Number one is what I'm doing unto the Lord. Look at verse 6. He that regardeth the day, it's the Lord's day, it's Sunday, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. You know what? Jesus Christ freed me from the law. I don't have to worry about that. Who's the focus? Jesus Christ. So I have liberty because of Christ. He's freed me from the law. So, okay. To the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. Hey! Is the Old Testament dietary law good for your health? Sure it would be. Last night, I slapped that ribeye. Thanks, Berlucci. Wow. If you want to get married again, we'll do that. Amen? No, not to a different woman. The same woman, if you guys want to redo your vows. Amen? Slap that big old ribeye on there, man. Whew, cutting that thing up. There's still a little blood in there in the middle. Like, is it cooked all the way around? A little blood inside. Feeling like a man in this beast of a guy came and sat right across from me. I mean, bald-headed beast of a dude. He slides in there, and this roast came out. The thing was like that. Here I was, feeling like a man with my whatever it was, 12-ounce ribeye or 8-ounce ribeye, 10-ounce, whatever it was. You know, I'm like, yeah. The thing was like, I said to the man, "What in the world is that?" He goes, "That's like a 24-ounce New York mega or something." I said, "Man, wow, I feel like a wimp." Old Testament dietary law. We prayed and thanked God for the food before we ate the lobster dip. Hallelujah. To the Lord he doth not regard it. You know Lester Roloff wouldn't drink coffee? God help him. He did it to the Lord. See, what's the problem either way? Well, you and I don't agree on that. Well, then let's talk about everything else that we do agree on. That's the spirit of Christianity. Got to pick at the one thing you don't like, don't you? That's human nature. All right, so the question is, will this bring me closer to the Lord? Hebrews 12:1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we're..." Let me skip forward. "Laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Two things, a weight and a sin. Do you realize some things are not a sin, but they are a weight? They slow down your walk. They inhibit your witness. They inhibit your personal relationship with Christ. So if something is becoming a weight in your life, stop. Stop. You realize some people can strap on those weighted vests. You ever see those? And you put the plates in them and they can go run with a weighted vest on, and they do it for their health because they're strong and they've built up to that. You put that same weighted vest on somebody else and say, okay, now let's go for a run. Their feet are going to give out and have blisters on their feet the size of half dollars. Their knees are going to give out. Their back's going to give out. They're not going to make it. They're not going to be able to breathe. They haven't built up to it. You guys, with Christianity and all the little ins and outs of all these little details, there is not one big formula that every Christian has to step into. You understand that? We're all at a different place in our walk with Christ. And we should be. There should be some here, and there are now. This is such an appropriate and fitting message for where our church is at. There are some here that are getting very strong in their faith. Young men. Young men. The word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. 1 John. There are some who are brand new in their faith. Brand new people don't try to keep up with those who are a little farther down the road. Those of you a little farther down the road, learn when to say something and when not to. Let them alone. Let them alone. Make sure that whatever you're doing, Christian, you're doing is unto the Lord, and that it's facilitating your walk with Christ, not inhibiting it. If it's inhibiting your walk with Christ, it's wrong. So if you can sit and watch zombies run around naked and chew each other's faces off and you feel closer to Jesus because of it, go see a shrink. But I'm just saying, that's the test, see? The second test, will this stand at the judgment seat of Christ? Look at verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? I'm sorry, I don't know what gets into me. Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's verse 10. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So when I get to heaven, am I going to be ready to give account for this? Whatever I'm smoking, drinking, eating, going, listening to, watching, saying, doing, wearing. When I get to the judgment seat of Christ, if he says, what about November 1st, 2015, when you were in your car and you turned on, some of those Metallica songs. You turned on Korn. And you knew as a born-again Christian he was blaspheming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about that CD cover that you had where that guy had a picture of that cover, an upside-down cross, upside-down crucifix, set up in a jar of urine? What about when you turned on that rap song and it was all about wicked, abominable immorality and drugs and violence and cursing the name of Jesus Christ? You ready to answer for that at the judgment? Knock yourself out. You see? You see how you in your personal walk with Christ, you study the Bible and you begin to evaluate what you do based on Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and the preacher doesn't have to get up and hammer everybody with standards. Because with time, you'll start going, you know, I used to be comfortable with that, but I'm not comfortable anymore. Because your focus has been on Christ. Are you ready to answer for it? Another one. And this is a real good one. This is where it gets hard. This is where Christian maturity kicks in. Will this hurt somebody else? Will this hurt somebody else? Look at verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. So don't pick on them about their higher standard or lower standard. Judge this in your own life, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So if I'm going to go to a restaurant with my wife and we're feeling all romantic, and I want to order a non-alcoholic beverage, because for whatever reason that's supposed to be more romantic, And somebody's walking by and sees me sitting there drinking that thing and like, what's the preacher doing? I was not alcoholic. If that would hurt somebody, and I know there's people in my church that used to struggle with alcoholism and almost lost their family over it, you think in a million years I ought to do that? In a million years. You see, you guys, doesn't this just really just put a damper on all the arguments? Well, what about this verse? Well, what about that verse? Well, what about the other verse? Well, that verse and that verse. Well, this verse and that. Well, that verse and the other thing. Well, that verse. Well, you're a hypocrite. Well, you're ungodly. Well, you're wicked. Well, you need to grow up. Because it's not all about all that. It's all about who could this hurt. Why should my liberty be judged of another man's conscience? Because I care about him, that's why. And the Lord cares about him, that's why. You know, I've had very stable Christians come to me and they're offended because my wife wears pants. You know, Brother Reagan, he doesn't have Baptists in his church and his wife wears slacks. Okay. That's not causing them to quit. You can't micromanage my life with the excuse of, well, that offends me. Well, you offend me. Get out of my face. You understand the difference? If a weak Christian is going to fall and get out of church and backslide on God because of my sorry, rotten, lousy, no good for nothing testimony, then I won't do it if it'll hurt them. That's what you should judge your standards by. I don't think anybody has ever quit on God because they saw you walk into a movie theater. I'm not saying you should go. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying you need to get alone with God and you ask him what he wants you to do and then do it. Look at verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Okay, so you can eat all the meat you want, but if you're doing it and you know you're offending somebody, then you shouldn't do it. See? So go to the store, buy the meat, cook it at home, and eat it. But if you're going to have a Christian over that you know is offended by that thing, don't do it. Don't say, hey, you want to go to Black Rock? Steaks are awesome. I know you don't believe in that, but I got liberty. Grow up. Why you got to rub it in their face? Enjoy yourself. But don't push it on somebody else. And it goes the other way. The weaker to the stronger to the weaker. Don't judge, don't despise. Wow, that's just ridiculous. They should know their Bible better than that. You're despising. Well, did you see what she was wearing? You're judging. Both are wrong and both are destructive to the church. I'm not talking about, hey, he's smoking a crack pipe. Hey, he's robbing a bank. Hey, he's committing adultery. Hey, I'm not talking about sin, see? I'm talking about 100 other things in between that we like to build our church cultures around so that everybody looks good. And when the visiting preachers come or other churches talk about us, they say good things because we got the high standard and we're a holy church. Don't care what they think. I care what he thinks. And if I care what he thinks, I'll be good to them. You understand the difference? Is my conscience clean? Look at verse 5. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Is my conscience clean? Can I do this? And say, Lord, before we hit this bong, we just want to stop for a second with my friends and thank you for the marijuana and the fact that we're not going to be in our normal minds here in just a couple of minutes. Can you do that? Of course you can't. Why don't you apply that to everything? Lord, before we watch this zombie apocalypse movie where we know there's nudity and Jesus Christ's name taken in vain and everything else going on here, and we know we're polluting our house and our children, but you know, God, we have liberty, and so we thank you for it. Bless it now to our spirit and prepare us for service tomorrow at church as we stay up late watching this stupid movie. Does that make sense? Of course it does. The last thing, the non-negotiables of Christ, and we're done in just a minute. So all this liberty I've given you, figure it out on your own. Here's some things the Bible teaches on how to judge and figure these things out for ourselves. There are some non-negotiables. There are some things we're not just to figure out on our own, we're to accept as fact from God. Number one is the faith of Christ. You see, he says, them that are weak in the faith. Verse 3, God hath received him. Why? Because he's in the faith. What is that? Verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. You realize, folks, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a non-negotiable. That's the faith. It's him. It starts with him the day you're born again. It continues with him this morning, tomorrow, the next day, the next day. It ends with him, eternity future. The faith is all about Jesus Christ. It's not all about whether or not you got my dress code and every standard that I have. I don't have a television in my home. I have a flat screen TV. We don't have cable or even regular channels. We have Netflix. That's my business. Do I ever preach at you about thou shalt not have a TV? Figure out what you want to do. You do what God would have you to do. If you have one, make sure that you are pleasing with God, to God as much as possible with it. Just like we do with Netflix. What are you going to do? Sit and stare at the walls 24/7?
We don't have the TV because we're spiritual.
We talk, brother. What about when you run out of things to say? You ever have a day where it's just like, hi, we live together. Sometimes like, let's find a movie to watch. Don't tell anybody because I'll be carnal. They won't ask me to come preach for them. We watch a movie.
We don't pay you to watch movies, brother.
Well, you don't pay me 24/7, amen. It's all about him, you guys. It's not all about all this other stuff. It's fellowship in Christ. Fellowship in Christ. Verse 7. None of us liveth himself, and no man dieth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, die, we are the Lord's. Verse 15, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. In the church, we ought to have fellowship in Jesus Christ and the fear of Christ. And you already saw the verses. We're all going to answer to him. We're all going to appear before his judgment. So if I do what I do based on the fear of Christ, based on my love for you, my love for him, my fear of him, then I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to make excuses for sin. What I'm talking to you this morning about is liberty, not license. I told you, some people will take this and go, oh, praise the Lord, I'm stopping to buy a pack of cigarettes. Well, shame on you. And I worry about that, but then I say, well, Lord, you know, you wrote it, and they do the same thing to you, so I guess it's not my problem, is it? He said, it ain't your problem. You tell them what I said. I said, okay. Because some of you guys need some liberty. Some of you guys need to be able to raise your kids, take them on vacation, take them to Disney World, take them to the carnival, or to Cedar Point. Enjoy your life a little bit. You're a Christian. Do everything in light of that. Don't make excuses for wickedness. But learn that the center and the focus is all about Jesus Christ, and you'll grow in him and you'll please him and you'll be what you're supposed to be if you'll put your heart and mind and focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ and who he is and fellowshipping with one another because of him. Loving this book, abiding by this book. You'll judge and you'll assess the things in your life as you should judge and assess them. And I got a feeling some of you this morning are like, yeah, I should probably stop listening to that kind of music. Yeah, I should probably stop going here, going there. Yeah, I should probably change this. I should probably change that. Others of you might be going, yeah, well, maybe we should relax a little bit. And that's exactly what I'm trying to get at. I'll leave you with this. Unity in doctrine. What do we believe? Unity. You understand that? You can't sit here and believe one thing while we believe another and think it's going to work. Unity in doctrine. Individuality in persuasion. This is not a cult. John the Baptist and Jesus were not exactly alike. Elijah and Elisha were not exactly alike. Charity in everything. Unity in doctrine. Individuality in persuasion. Charity in everything. Not going to have an invitation this morning. It'd be kind of awkward. Like, why don't you come down here and get right about your music? Why don't you go loosen up, man? Relax a little bit. Kind of weird, you know what I'm saying? But I hope it helps you a little bit. Let's stand to our feet and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Schmidt, would you dismiss us, please?